This next one is a somber one, a very sad one, and not to pick on the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, or whatever it stands for. I used to be part of that. I'm not when it became that, but where I grew up, the Danish Synod merged with the ALC and all these things merged. The more they merged, the more corrupted they got. Mm-hmm. It's just like Babylon with the tower, you know, Babel, everybody coming together. And that's why God created the nations. You see what the problem Europe is having today? Because they lost their sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Because once you get into Europe, you can go into any country. You had to, when I traveled Europe years ago, I had to show my passport. The train would stop. When we went from Denmark to Germany, the train stopped. And the German people came on, and you had to show your passport, or they took you off the train. They protected each other, countries. That way. Now it's the United Europe. Yeah, well, God's not for that. And it's bringing all these problems on them. This is to show you the social gospel. It's so clear. These are actual writings from their magazine that the head of the church is bishop, top bishop.
Yeah.
And now it's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. All right? The first time, no. It's very interesting not to put women down, but Satan works strongly through women. Worked through Eve. Strongly through women. So that women are not satisfied with the position God gave them. And if you study that, God gave more laws to men dealing with women than women dealing with men. If you study that in a marriage, the tremendous responsibilities of the husband, mm-hmm. which many of them today don't even deal with any of that.
Right.
And what has happened, because as that was not being met, women started rising up, and now we got this whole big confusion, and it's gone absolutely to insanity, where a boy decides he wants to be a girl when he's 6 years old and goes to school, and the teacher gets fired because they won't call him her.
Yeah.
It's insane, depraved minds. Well, this is what the church has. It's social gospel, not the gospel of the cross. So what's the title of it?
If the social gospel does not work, then what?
Yes.
Are these examples of 1 Timothy 4, 1? Okay.
Yes. What does it say?
The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron.
Most likely everyone in this room will look at these things and read what was written and say, how could somebody believe that? How could they write that? Because they have depraved minds. They didn't wake up with one. It grew. It went step by step by step. The frog in the water where it heats it up and heats it up. Oh, it really feels good. Oh, it's a little warmer. Oh, now you're cooked and people are eating frog legs. That's what is happening. We've had the same thing. Now today, you see it on the news, people are trying to say, this is Islam. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not radical Islam. Islam's not radical. I looked up, and you might want to do this if you have the internet. I looked up ISIS indoctrinations, and I saw actual video filmed by ISIS about ISIS, and see this little 3-year-old boy and how this father was indoctrinating him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With hatred to kill, and he can't wait till he's 16. Mm-hmm. Or he gets his gun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People.
That was on TV.
Yes, probably was, but it's archived. But I wanted to watch part of it. I was so sad to think that, because any child could be indoctrinated like that.
Yeah.
Well, this is what these people are doing, because this church supports the Muslims.
Yes.
Now, Muslims aren't our enemy. Satan's the enemy.
Yeah.
All right? And there are Muslims that are killing Muslims, of course, but their doctrine is false. Their religion is false. And you have this guy in a mosque preaching this message, including they're going to get the White House. And then they say, well, it's not Islam. Well, What else is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we have first? Number one.
Introduction.
Thanks.
I believe what I am about to present to you in this short study is a prime example of what the Lord warned Timothy. The scriptures, 2 Peter 3:3, also warns us that many will fall away from the faith. In 2 Peter 3:17, true believers are told, "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. If you believe you cannot be deceived, then you already have been deceived."
That is so important, people, that last statement. If you believe you cannot be deceived. There are millions of people sitting in those churches. Some are elderly people who say, "Well, this has been my church for many years, and I'm not going to leave it." Well, wait a minute. Jesus said the church is mine. It's not the building on the corner. It's the hearts of people. That's the true church.
Right.
And you're condoning. When you sit and listen to that stuff, you are condoning it, and you will have to deal with that. Okay, next.
Number two. The source for this study is taken from the May 2015 issue of the Lutheran, a publication of the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. This denomination resulted from the merger of several other Lutheran denominations or synods over the past several years. This is not the only church group that could be used as an example of the unfortunate and gross misuse of the scriptures. I grew up in a church that became part of the ELCA. I have witnessed taken over by individuals by their own words. They are not on their way to heaven, but rather hell.
Yes, and they need deliverance. Three.
The article I'm using is entitled "The Holy Spirit" and found on pages 12 and 13. A, the root of the problem is falsely identified. We often wring our hands about our shrinking congregations. We follow demographic trends and think becoming tender will make our churches more attractive to those who aren't there. Not that these things are bad, but they don't get at the real sources of the church's creative energy and power, the Holy Spirit.
Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Now that sounds, well, maybe sounds good, but it's a, we have a problem of shrinking congregations.
Right.
You know, our budget's going. We got a big building, got a lot to take care of here. So the concern was the shrinking congregations. We got to do something. We've done all these other things, and it's not working. You see what I'm saying? They tried the social gospel, but it's not working. So now they're discovering the Holy Spirit. Well, see what happens. B.
I'm sorry. What's ELCA? What's the definition of ELCA?
Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. It's the largest Lutheran group. They're worldwide.
Attempts to place the blame. Yet Lutherans are often tongue-tied when asked about their experiences of the Spirit. It's often in hushed tones or in private conversations.
Now, this is what the author, the writer of their magazine is saying, not me. What she's reading there, if it's quoted, you should quote it. Okay.
We tend to leave spirit talk to charismatic mystics or others who have unusual experiences. Who likes to sound like a religious nut?
Okay, now you see what's being said there? Why should we leave the Holy Spirit to the charismatics? They're not really nuts to get into the Holy Spirit. Next.
C, false warning and false justification. Of course, talk about the Spirit can be misused and often in dangerous ways. Yet our inheritance often masks our ignorance about the Spirit. If God the Father comes to us in the gifts of creation and God the Son in our redemption with God, how does God the Spirit come to us?
Okay, now you need to say, quote, because this is not what I wrote. This is what I'm taking out of their magazine. Okay? So what is she saying there? Can you see she's laying a justification? Now, if you are a Lutheran reading the magazine, this is what it's for. Now, when you say, well, that doesn't seem too bad, but they're laying groundwork, people. Can you see it? Okay, it's going to get more obvious. They don't just start blatantly out. It just starts and then moves. Okay.
Next. Gross misuse of Scripture and insulting Jesus Christ. And this is a quote. A good place to start is with Jesus' baptism, when a voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, with whom I am well pleased," and the Spirit comes upon Jesus like a dove. The Spirit then drives Jesus into the desert to be tested. We learn that the Spirit can be manipulated to make one wealthy, powerful, or even capable of special powers.
Wow. Okay, now is it getting your attention?
Yes.
Okay. Now what's wrong with that?
You can't manipulate the Spirit.
Yes.
Kangaroo.
That's right.
No way.
And also the fact Jesus was led by the Spirit, not driven.
That's right.
What does his experience have to do with that last statement? Does that reveal the fact that Jesus Christ was manipulating the Holy Spirit when there's temptations? No, that's not what's going on at all. They take verses that have nothing to do with what they're saying.
Oh, man.
But they're trying to find something because the Holy Spirit's in it, so somehow we can use it. See?
Yeah.
Okay, next.
False answer and promoting demonic activity. Quote, because the Spirit is infinitely creative, we can become more fully ourselves even as we enter more fully into relationship with one another. Thus, we may not compete or be envious. Through the Spirit's inexhaustible life, our communities exist not for themselves but for the world. By giving us the power to announce God's good news in a multiplicity of languages and cultures, the Spirit continually creates unity in Christ among people of diverse backgrounds.
Okay, what about it? What does it say at the beginning? Created?
Creative.
So the Holy Spirit was created?
No, it says creative.
Creative.
Okay, creative. Okay, so is he creative?
No.
Is he like a good artist?
No.
No.
All right. But that's what it's implying.
He's God.
It's implying that he's different than God.
Mm-hmm. And he's
right? Mm-hmm. And he deals with the multiplicity, which is talking about diversity. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. God is not a respecter of persons. If he were, probably everybody in this room would be discriminated against by God. Well, are you a Semite? Are you from one of the 12 tribes? No. This is not talking about that at all. It's not talking about different races and ethnicity, their cultural diversity. It's not talking about that at all.
You know what's really, really deceptive when it says, our communities exist not for themselves, but for the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's your global...
Yes, yeah, definitely.
They're sneaking in.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
They're sneaking it in.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we can manipulate the Holy Spirit, and he's going to get moving, or it will get moving in our church, and we'll have more people in the church, and everything will be wonderful. Next.
F, confirmed by Martin Luther. And that's a quote, experience is the school of the Spirit, where we daily prove, test, and feel for ourselves God's power to create righteousness out of injustice and life out of death.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
That's what Martin Luther said you're doing.
How do we create righteousness?
Yeah, I know, really.
Right. Yeah. Can you see how new age-ish and globalism it is?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Remember, Martin Luther was a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Yes, he did make a stand about selling indulgences, buying your way to heaven. Yes, he did. We commend him for that. But that's about the end of it.
Yeah.
And he did translate the New Testament to German, and people started reading the Bible and all that. But he was very anti-Jewish. Trying to get Lutherans were killing Jews, and Catholics were killing Jews. And he kept two sacraments of the seven, baptism and communion. Baptism gets you into salvation, and communion keeps your sins forgiven. That's a false gospel. Okay, next.
4. Another article to illustrate doctrines of demons. A, from the same magazine, The Lutheran, June 2015, and entitled Shalom Church, Being the Body of Christ in a Non-Religious World. B, this church organization, ELCA, supports the Palestinians and then uses a Hebrew word meaning peace to name a church. C, following are some excerpts from this article. 1. What do we mean when we call the church the body of Christ? In the New Testament, body of Christ has 3 meanings. 2, Jesus incarnate.
Now you're quoting, this is not me.
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus incarnate is the body of Christ. These are all quotes. 3, the meal of bread and wine we share is the real body and blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16 is their reference.
Okay, now, that's the Catholic view.
Yeah.
The Lutherans did not believe that initially.
Now they do.
Right. See, because they're moving to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
All roads are leading to Rome.
Yep.
And the Ecumenical Church. Right.
4, the church is named as Body of Christ. Romans 12:4-8 and 1 Corinthians 12:12-27 are their references.
Okay. And if you read those, you'll see that they've taken them out of context. Is the body of Christ a literal thing or a spiritual thing?
Spiritual.
All right. But it is made up of literal individuals.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Some of it is hard to discern, but if you have the Spirit, it's very easy. You may not be able to explain it theologically, but you know something's not right. Right. Next.
5. While Lutheran theology has carefully defended the real presence of God in Christ in relationship to the Incarnation and the Lord's Supper, what would it mean for the church in our time to take just as seriously its corporate existence as the real presence of Jesus Christ for the life of the world? 6. We participate in the very character of Jesus Christ and are called to represent him as we relate to other people. 7. Being the body of Christ today means engaging in life-giving relationships with others and with creation.
There's your environmental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're your tree huggers.
A, read the following scriptures referenced in this article. A, 1 Corinthians 10:16. B, Romans 12:4-8. C, 1 Corinthians 12:12-27.
Okay, so what are those? Let me look them up.
Okay,
1 Corinthians. Okay.
1 Corinthians 10:16.
Right.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has relieved their report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now, is that what they're talking about?
No.
No, but they use that verse.
Doesn't even relate to what they said.
No, exactly.
Jeez.
It's so blatantly awful. Romans, you know what Romans 12 is about, living sacrifice.
For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function.
Okay, so what they're talking about here is that we have the people from all these ethnic and racial groups to make up the body.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about a physiological thing, not a spiritual.
That's right.
Now, we all come from different backgrounds in this room. We all have different looks, different DNAs. We're going to have common, some of us are going to have common blood types, regardless of what we look like or what background we came. There are only certain blood types. But spiritually, that's what it is. That's what God's talking about. All in Christ are one. No differences. But they're taking it not that way, to the physical literal. We have to have Muslims in our church to complete the body. We have to have Jehovah's Witnesses. We got to have Mormons. We can even have atheists, shamans, whatever. Well, that's where it's going, people.
Yep, that's where it's going.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to 9.
What do the scriptures reveal regarding the body of Christ?
Okay, you probably know that. It's also in Ephesians. The body of Christ, first of all, is the church.
Yes.
The true church. From the day of Pentecost until the rapture. Amen. There's still people to come into the church and be part of the body of Christ. He's using an analogy of our body. That it's good to have our both eyes and our arms and everything.
Yes.
And so the local body will function better when God has gifted people with certain gifting so that we can function together to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one head, and that's not the pastor. It's Jesus himself. It's his church. He bought the church and paid for it. It's all paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it's really, the Bible teaches. And there's only one way in. And it's through him. Right? Okay.
5. The following article from the Lutheran, May 2015, illustrates synchronism. A. The Lutheran Church in Denver turns its facilities over to the Four Winds American Indian Council. B. Even though the facilities were not being used by an active congregation, the facility was being used by Lutheran Social Services of Colorado. See, the issue here is that the church participated in an official ceremony with the world as represented by the Osage Nations of Indians, symbolizing the points of the compass. D. Following are quotes from the article entitled Sacred Return. 1. This is a quote. It was a sacred event in a sacred space, and those who were left there left convinced that they had been joined by countless unseen others to watch history come in full circle. Two, the Lutherans in the group spoke of the Danish immigrants who purchased a small plot of land in central Denver more than 100 years ago and consecrated it for worship and building of a community. The American Indians spoke of ancestors summoned from the four directions in the sacred pipe ceremony.
Wow.
Both spoke of the pain and brokenness that has marked so much of the history between indigenous people and those whose ancestors immigrated to this land. But the two cultures came together March 28 to recognize the value both place on sacred space and to acknowledge the role it plays in our connection to the divine and others.
Now, regarding a sacred space, okay, we're in a facility that's called Longmoor Road Baptist Church. What would make this room sacred?
The Spirit of the Living God within us.
Yeah.
Makes a space.
It's because we're here.
Yeah.
Not because the building's here.
Right.
And I know they dedicate buildings and all that for the use of the Lord and all the spiritual things, okay. But can you see what they're doing? Synchronization is when you take something from one set of standards, it's like shuffling a deck of cards, where half of it's one thing, half's the other, and you synchronize it. Catholicism is all synchronized. If you go down to that south of Tucson, to the mission, white on the outside and all that horrible stuff on the inside. Well, the Indians that lived there, part of their culture was synchronized into the Mass. As long as they have the Mass and the Eucharist, the church is fine. But then you can do all these other things and bring in your own beliefs. That's synchronization.
Yeah.
Rosary came from Hindi in India.
Yeah.
Holy water. All these things were added in there and synchronized. And that's what they're doing here. Now, they're not helping the Osage Indians with the gospel. And they're not helping the people that are in the social ministries with the gospel. See, it's not the true gospel. We have to make peace because the Indians owned the land at one time that the church ended up with and bought it. See, that's this whole cycle stuff, right? What my Bible says is all belongs to God. A lot of good people can be deceived. And have been. I was before I was saved. And I do not want to be deceived as a believer about anything. Even some minor things of the Bible that may be just a matter of historical, I want to be as accurate as possible. And so when I hear something that doesn't seem right, I go and check it out with the Bible. If I watch a movie that's supposed to be based on the Bible, and it's like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem quite right. I want to get it straight, because otherwise when I teach and preach a message, I might bring in the movie, and it's not right. They're very simple things. The whole thing of Moses and the Ten Commandments, this whole business is, yeah, the plagues and a lot of those things are accurate to the Bible, but they didn't have Yul Brynner in it, where he was competing with Moses. Moses wasn't complete. I don't mean the man itself, but the person he represented, Ramses. No, it wasn't that. Moses was the one that ran away. It wasn't Yul Brynner that took him to the border and said, here's your kingdom. See, and not that it's all horrible, but it's not exactly what the Bible says. And then when you're going to teach it that, you end up teaching stuff that's not right. So I want to be accurate down to the jot and the tittle. All right? Well, the jot is the small, yod is the smallest Hebrew letter. And the tittle is a little mark on it that makes it a different sound. What God is saying down to the minute detail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are going to continue in our study entitled what? Yeah, if the social gospel does not work, what then?
We're on page 4 of it. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So what you need to do, if you weren't here last week, you're going to have to listen to the summary of it. It has to do with the ELCA, Lutheran Church, the magazine they put out called The Lutheran. Just to give you an example, but not just picking on them, of how the social gospel is what we find in most of our churches. We want everybody to be happy, come in. Jesus is love. Does the Bible teach that Jesus is love? What else does it teach? Yes, that's right. That all things are under him for judgment. And it does preach something else too. He's all merciful, all gracious, but he's holy, righteous, and just. He cannot deny himself. He will not deny his word. He will not make an exception for you or for me. Right? But because of grace, we shouldn't have to fear about our sins, but we should walk in the light as he is in the light, meaning the truth. Right? And 1 John talks about that. But you see, we have a distorted Jesus because the Muslims will talk about Jesus too. A great man, a great prophet. Jehovah's Witness will talk about him as Michael the Archangel. And the Mormons talk about him as the brother of Lucifer, who is Satan, if you can imagine that. And that's true. Sunday the pastor was talking about the gospel and everything else. I don't use the Roman road. I believe in its theology, but it's not going to work. With most people, that doesn't work. It really doesn't. It definitely won't work with Muslims. There's one thing missing in Islam. Don't believe these women that come on television. Now they're dressing them in blue. They're propagandists. They don't allow women to speak in the Middle East. They abuse them. But there they are, all smiles and meek and demeanor, and telling that Islam is love. Islam means peace. I've had Muslims tell me that. I said, why are you lying to me? Well, I'm an infidel. The Quran says you must lie to the infidels. So the news people are infidels. They just lie. They're commanded to lie. Islam means submission. Submit or else. But they're being used for their propaganda. And they talk about that they don't kill women and children and everything. You know what? Do you know how many girls are murdered every year by their family called honor killings?
Oh, yeah.
We've had some of our country that bit the news. Why don't they bring those back up? Because the liberals are protecting. Now think about this way. What if you were in a Muslim country, which I knew several, but you don't want to be under Islam, but you're forced to it. And so when we have our president, all these people speaking about how wonderful Islam is, and the people living there don't want to be delivered from it, what message does that give? We're a country of freedom and all that, and yet what are we talking about? Stay under your oppression. Well, that's why we need the truth. And then our churches have done more to foster it than anything else, because they've taken up the cause of the Palestinians over the Jews. Lies. They believe the lies. And that's what this message is about, this lesson is about, as an example. And we took quotes out of their magazine. You weren't here last week. Maybe you can go back a few pages to read these things. And they've discovered that they didn't say this, but they implied that the social gospel isn't working because the congregations are shrinking. Why are they shrinking? The church home I grew up in, the community is 17,000 people, and now with all the mergers, there are several ELCA churches, including the one I grew up in. And when I grew up in our church, it was 2,500 members in a town of 17,000. Another one had 5,000. Another one had 2. Another one had 1,500. Now they're all part of the ELCA, all those people. And yet the church with 5,000 has 300, mostly old people. They're not spirit-filled, led people, because they aren't truly saved, many of these people. The leaders. And now the new head of that group is a woman, lesbian. Head of the Episcopal Church, a lesbian. It's Diana, Sophia. I see all this rising up. See, there's nothing new. Well, they have found that just having loving everybody and everything else, one church actually converted it into a bar. I think it was in Washington, in Seattle or Portland. Yeah, into a bar so that they can minister to people. They just serve beer and wine, by the way. No hard stuff, just beer and wine. But can you see how crazy it is? Exactly. Now they have realized they need to get the Holy Spirit. Well, they're going to get demons. And that's what this lesson is about, to show that, and we saw that last week. Unbelievable at what they're writing, and yet people in the church are being indoctrinated to this. And yet many of the older people say, I don't believe this stuff, but it's my church. What do you mean? Jesus said, it's my church. What do you mean it's your church? Those people are going to have to deal with that in the judgment that you sat and took all this stuff in and didn't stand up against it. You compromise with the world. He says, what? You're at odds with me. That's a dangerous thing. And so I'm hoping that you can make copies of this if you know people that are in churches that have fallen into this trap, that they will realize that they need to be freed from it. And that's where we are. We're on the page of where we need to make a decision, right? And it won't take a lot of time on that, but you can work on that on your own. And so what's the first question?
Do you believe what was presented in these articles?
Do you go along with the author of the article?
Yeah.
Do you accept what they're saying is true?
No.
You say no. Why?
Because it doesn't line up with the Word of God.
All right. Do you need any other example? Any other rationale? If it contradicts the word of God, then it's wrong. I don't have to question God's word. If I'm questioning God's word, then I'm not well-grounded in the faith, right? Yeah. Now, do you believe that the person who wrote the article believes what they wrote?
Yeah.
Sure. Right. And they're trying to get other people to believe this. Right? Okay, so what's the next question?
Can you support your answer with scripture?
Right. Now, it can take time to go into all, you know, whatever, but you should know scripture. So what is the main premise of this whole thing? They need to do what? What were all these articles basically about? Which person of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit. Right. There's so much controversy over the Holy Spirit because people don't study the Bible. It used to be a lot of the traditional churches, some of the fundamental Baptists and other groups, didn't even want to mention the Holy Spirit because he's called the Ghost in the King James. Like one guy said, when he grew up, he thought that might be like Casper, the friendly ghost. Well, the Holy Spirit's supposed to, you know, nice guy. Okay. And to other people, it. Don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. It was moving. No, he. It's God in three person, masculine, he. The Holy Spirit is all the fullness of God, the Father. Jesus Christ is all the fullness of God, the Father. It's one God manifested in three persons, but is the Son, the Father? Yes and no. Depending on what you mean. Is Jesus Christ ever called the Father? Yes. Is he ever called Jehovah? Yes, he is. Isaiah 44, verse 6. You see, you need to know when you start reading and you come across the word Lord, you need to know what that means in Greek or Hebrew. Right? To us, Lord means the concept, Lord. Don't lord over me. What's it mean?
Master?
Yeah, master, authority. It's an authority issue. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, but not your Lord, then you only have Jesus, you don't have Christ. Jesus means Savior. Yeshua means Savior. Jehoshua in Hebrew means Savior. All right? What did the angel tell Mary? And you will name him Jesus, and he will save his people. Savior. What was Joseph's name in Egyptian?
Zephaniah,
which means Savior.
Yeah.
Pronounce it again.
Zephaniah.
It's in Genesis.
It's a story when Moses is in Egypt and the Pharaoh appoints him minister, prime minister over Egypt. Okay. Jesus Christ needs to be your Savior and your Lord. I came to him through the Lordship, recognizing that he is God. And then I began to realize that I needed to accept what happened on the cross on my behalf. That's how I got saved. John MacArthur wrote a whole book on Lordship salvation. A lot of people don't believe him. Well, if he isn't your Lord, how can he be your Savior? You know, well, I just want you to save me and everything's fine, but then I'm going to live my life the way I want. Where do we find his authority? Where is the authority revealed? We're looking at it. The Bible, the Word of God. This authority. Otherwise, it's only what somebody said. Right? Jesus told me this. Where is it in the Bible? Then he didn't tell you. You're false.
Oh, I have a word for you. The Lord spoke to me last night.
You wouldn't have any ears.
You need to go to the Mass every morning. No, see, that's false. Or a pastor starts saying something, have a word, whatever. Well, you can have a leading of the Holy Spirit, definitely, because something you read and you get convicted of it, and maybe it's something you need to share with somebody else or pray for them. That's true. Have you ever heard the Lord speak to you?
No.
Has God ever personally spoken to you?
No.
How do you ever get saved? Then you never got saved. Well, who spoke to you? The pastor?
The Word of God.
People, if you read the Word,
right,
and the Word impresses something on you, God has spoken to you. I don't hear him audibly, but I have it impressed upon my mind. He speaks to me.
That's what I thought you meant, audibly.
Well, then you could have said, not audibly, but so-and-so. Right. Don't worry about my questions. You answer it the way you feel is biblical. Right?
Paul?
Yeah.
Doesn't he speak to us in many other ways through nature? There's one of the songs that goes about how he speaks to us. Through the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere.
Yes and no. Well, you see that in Romans chapter 1, that we're without excuse because he has revealed himself in his creation. That's true. Right. And people have gotten saved that way. Scientists and such, by trying to disprove God, to look into a microscope, electron microscope, and see the details within plants and body parts and such. Yes. They realize there's something beyond them. That's true. God speaks in four ways today. He doesn't speak through dreams and visions where we seek them. All right? You don't seek an answer that way.
Paul?
Yes.
They wanted to know where Joseph's name was. Genesis 41, 45.
Okay. 41, 45.
41, 45.
What does it say?
Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. He speaks in four major ways. He speaks from his spirit to our spirit. But if you aren't saved, your spirit's dead, so that's not going to work, right? Speaks through his word. Those are his preferences. Sometimes he needs to speak through other people who are his.
Yeah.
That's what pastors do, preach the word. And circumstances. And by the way, I'm not going to go into a whole lesson on salvation, but we can't lead people to the Lord. No way. I couldn't even get myself to the Lord. I know what you probably mean by that, that God used you in some way, but John 17 is very clear that if people are not drawn by God, nothing will happen. So you say, well, yeah, but they responded. Yeah, they responded because God was leading and calling, and we're used in that process. That's true. It won't work without the calling of God. Yeah, that's why I know there are churches, and I don't want to criticize leaders here, but there's such a pressure being placed on people to knock doors down and drag people into the church. I don't think it's biblical. We are to be witnesses, not evangelists. We are to be witnesses. We witness through our life. If you put the Greek words in the Great Commission, it doesn't say go, get ready, say go, let's go out and hit the neighborhood. That's not what it says. It says as going, and their participles, making disciples, baptizing, and as true believers, and then teaching everything I commanded. You don't start out by teaching them the Bible. You start out by building a relationship. That's what discipling is all about. And especially with Muslims. Because love is missing in Islam. And every testimony I've heard, I got three on my website that are wonderful from former Muslim guys who went to ASU and lived in Christian homes. And they said that was what did it. They never said they were Christians, but they were so impressed that the father treated the mother with respect, that they prayed. Prayer was very important to Muslims. And I've had Muslims in my home, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and they weren't offended. So we need to know the people. We need to get them to doubt their faith by knowing what their faith is, to say, well, is that in the Quran? And they'll say, oh, it's hurts in the Quran. Well, where is it in the Quran? Point it out to me. Because I know the basis of the Quran. No, it's not there. You've already lied to me and said Islam means peace. No, it doesn't. I know Arabic enough to know it means submission. You have a greeting, Ashlam Alaikum. Shalom is like in there, like in the Hebrew, Shalom, peace. But Ashlam Alaikum is saying peace upon you. Right? Okay. Next. What's the next?
We got sidetracked. Do you believe some of what was presented in these articles?
Yeah, some may. You may not be totally exposed to the social gospel at this point, or really understand the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we were in our discussion. All right. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father, have been in existence eternity past. They had no beginning. Don't ask me to explain it. Because in my mind, something has to... You have to have something to make something. But God made something out of nothing. I'm not God. All right? Okay. He will always be spirit, past, present, and future. God the Father will always be spirit, past, present, and future. But Jesus Christ, that's where you get very complicated. Jesus Christ was spirit. At some point, we've seen in the Old Testament, where he came in as a pre-incarnation, manifesting as a man, called Melchizedek, in one case, with Abraham. Abraham also had three men who came to visit him. And we know that two of those men went on and ended up being judging Sodom and Gomorrah and bringing destruction and rescuing Lot and his family. They were actually angels. Angels are not women with wings. The only angels or angelic beings with wings are the seraphim we talked about last week. Or where we talked about it. Right? With the three different, okay. Wings and so on. Now, when Bethlehem occurred, that was when God the Son, and son means heir. It does not mean that you have a son or are a son. It's not that at all. I wish people would explain it. I wish pastors would understand it, because this is a pitfall for the Muslims. When they say, God has no son, I said, you're right. You think we're right? Yeah. If you believe that son means like you're a son, uh-uh, that's not it. It isn't. No. See, they're very interested in scholarly things. No, because you see, English is a bad language. Oh, they love that. The Bible wasn't written in English, and so it's translated. It means error in Greek. And then you go and explain that to them. And a lot. I wrote a Christmas letter, my Christmas letter last year, explained that whole theology of Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. And a man that's been in church for years came to me and said, you know, I finally understand why Jesus Christ is God. And he was 95 years old. See? The centrality of the scripture is all about Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, and yet very people know it, including pastors, and don't preach it, and don't teach it. I learned a lot about it after I was a Christian, because I study every day. I'm putting myself up, but I want to know, right? Okay, so that's the issue. There's a duality in the Son, and we know a label placed on is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man, perfect man, just like Adam. That's why he's called the second Adam, without sin. It was Jesus who became sin. God can't become sin, and God can't die. So it was Jesus Christ that was on the cross. out of the tomb was Christ Jesus. That's why it's written that way in the Bible. The emphasis is on the Son of God versus the Son of Man. Make sense? That's the only way to work, people. The only way to work if God became man. And yet being God, but put away his divineness. It was covered by the flesh, literally, of Jesus. And we saw in Mount Transfigurations, he pulled back that and they saw this light, the bright light coming out, right? So that's the issue there. So these people are dealing with the Holy Spirit because there's power there. We've got to get power in our church. Well, they'll get it. A lot of churches have power, but it's demonic power, people. And Satan is a deceiver and he disguises himself as an angel of light. What was his original name? Title? Lucifer. Luce means
light.
Light in Spanish. Luce. Light. Angel of light. But the light he produces today is his own light. It's not the light of God. It may be a light like we have up in the ceiling. That's not the light of God. That's a manufactured light. It's very hard to stand in the presence of the light of God. Yes. Okay. Does that give us some understanding there?
Yes.
All right. Now, what does it say if we go to the summary? But it's important that you know verses. You don't have to always know the references. It does help if somebody wants to see it. But you do know the concept of it. Now, I take ownership many times because of paraphrasing. Put in my words. I know the pastor said everybody should memorize that. We have people telling us in our church that where we live that memorize a whole psalm. Well, I want to say, well, wait till you get older.
I know.
Yeah. I can't remember some of the things I used to already know. So, now, what does God say about it? His word should be where?
In our heart.
And then it stays in our heart. Right? No, we should meditate on it daily. And then let it so shine before men that God will use that to draw them to him. That's what it's all about. The goal is to get to which of the three persons? The Father. That's the goal. But you cannot come directly to the Father because you've got a problem. You were born separated. You have a sin problem. The sin nature problem is your problem, not your fornication if you're into that, or this or that or everything. No, it's sin. S-I-N. I mentioned that in our Bible study where we live, and the guy leading the Bible study and somebody else didn't even have a concept. I said, well, it's sin, the sin of unbelief. They didn't even get it. Well, that's sad. This is, Jesus said, I came to save people from their sin. Sin, singular.
Sin.
See, pay attention to the details in the Bible. Well, is that a mistake? No, because if your sin is taken care of, all your sins are automatically taken care of. The root's taken care of, the fruit will be taken care of. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to the root. We don't go to the root. You can listen to all the stuff on TV being talked about candidates and everything else. Do we get to the root of why we're in the mess we're in? It's not because the president messed up to cover up his business. Yeah, that created some things, but that's not the root. That's fruit. All that stuff is fruit. The root is that we have turned our backs on God. That is the root, people. And I'm starting to hear a little bit of that coming out. But you see, people will be shunned and laughed at. Okay, fine. Then take the judgment when the bombs go off in your neighborhood, which I believe they will. We're under judgment. Think about it, people. It is not just the ISIS people. They've carried it too far for some Muslims. There are two approaches. There is a terroristic approach, which does work, because after 9/11, we opened our doors to Muslims. building mosques, bringing 10,000 Wahhabis. They're the worst of the Muslims in Saudi Arabia. They are the terrorists behind bin Laden and all of that stuff. And the front group, I call them the Shriners of Islam, is the Muslim Brotherhood. 57 are in the White House. They kicked them out of Egypt. The Muslims in Egypt kicked those Brotherhood people out. But we have them in the White House. It's our judgment, people. It's our judgment. Look at what he allowed to happen to Israel. They still haven't been fully restored. Won't happen until the millennium. And they got a lot of tribulation coming up. This whole thing could ignite quickly worldwide. You've seen what's happening in Belgium, locking everybody down. Well, what would happen? If I were a Muslim, and even those that come out and speak nicely and everything else, they have the same goal. Their approach is different, but they have the same goal, conquering the world. They must. Allah demands it. Or they're going to hell, and they want to avoid hell. Muslims are more serious about sin and hell than most professing Christians. They are. That's why they will allow themselves to be blown up. It's an instant guarantee of paradise in their teaching. Of course, it's the teaching of Satan. But can you see that? So we think there's some that are friendly, whatever. Well, if I were a Muslim, I would make every effort I could right now because they're on the offense. And the world is trying to figure out what to do with this whole thing. What I would do, because there are plenty in the U.S. already, and they must have weapons and stuff, just go and hit every city somehow. Just do even a Paris kind of a thing. All they have to have is a van or an SUV of some kind with AK-47s and drive down the street when there are a lot of people, or just rush into a mall or anything. You can't stop that. That's all they'd have to do. The whole country would be in an uproar. People with guns would be out trying to shoot anybody they thought was a Muslim. And we have chaos. And then they declare martial law. Like they've done in France and Belgium. I think we're so close to the beginning of the tribulation. Now remember, the tribulation is God pouring out his wrath. We see what Satan's doing and man's doing, but that's when God kicks in. So my prayer is for mercy, mercy, mercy. Quit thanking God for all the other stuff. They beg for mercy. He's done a lot of grace. Thank him, yes, for that. But we need to plead for mercy. Our true churches need to be on their knees praying for mercy, that God will hold back his judgment from us so that we can enjoy life more. No, so we can get the gospel out. Okay, now let's go to the summary. Somebody have a mic and read it so we can pick it up.
A lot could be said about these articles. However, it's a serious and blasphemous indictment of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his word, the scriptures. The ELCA, like many other church organizations, has lost members because wolves in sheep's clothes have worked their way into key leadership positions. The book of Jude reveals this problem and warns true believers what to do about it. The words expressed in this article more than likely is the philosophy or doctrine of the ELCA. Certainly it's a doctrine of demons, and the Lord warned his people centuries ago that a time would come such as this. Certainly trying to experience God and seek powers is not new. Even in our time we have seen similar movements as the Power of Positive Thinking by Vincent Peale, the Power of Possibility Thinking by Robert Schuller, and the Purpose-Driven Life and Church by Rick Warren. Unfortunately, hundreds of churches and thousands of people have been indoctrinated by these teachings. The foundations for these teachings are not new and are predominantly practiced by Buddhists and New Agers. Self-realization first came into the human race in the Garden of Eden. It's based on a lie of Satan, the father of lies, who deceived Eve into doubting God and believed that God had held out on, and she and her husband Adam. What God had protected Adam and Eve from was the knowledge of good and evil. Satan, originally one of the chief angels in heaven, called Lucifer, rebelled against God by desiring to take over the throne of God and be as God. There were many ways Satan disguises his real goal of deceiving and destroying a person. Getting someone, especially someone claiming to be a Christian, that their life is missing something which is blocking them from fulfilling their desires. The poor people will receive, will not be from the Spirit, but there are many evil spirits waiting in line to participate in people's lives and the work of the church. Evil spirits can counterfeit some of the miracles performed by Jesus Christ. This is done to convince people that their false beliefs are not false, but rather the work of God. God presents himself in three persons, and this includes the Holy Spirit, who is God in all his fullness. The truth is, if one is really, truly saved, the Holy Spirit wants more of me. It's not for me to try to get more of him. It's a matter of obedience and being grateful for the opportunity to receive forgiveness from one's sins and have eternal life with the God of creation, redemption, and power. Believers are warned to discern the spirits and walk in the truth as Jesus Christ is truth. You may ask, what can I do if I'm in a church that has been mine for many years? The true church is made up of all true believers throughout the world.
You lost your microphone somewhere.
I did. Throughout the world, and Jesus Christ is the head. It is his church, and he paid for it in full on the cross. First, you should pray and seek the Lord's direction. Second, you should confront the leaders in love with the truth. Third, if they do not listen to you and or make excuses, you should tell the leaders that you can no longer be part of that organization. This can be difficult, but what is more important, Jesus Christ and your eternal destiny, or compromising the truth, and then try to explain that to Jesus Christ someday. More than likely, you are not the only one. You can be an encouragement to others for standing for Jesus Christ. He will give you the strength if you step out in faith that he will guide you. You can get together with others in your home and worship the Lord, study his word, and have great godly fellowship. Salvation is not through the church, performing baptism, confirmation, or even communion. Salvation is the work of God the Father, working through God the Holy Spirit, drawing one to Jesus Christ and repenting of one's sins, turning from sin and turning toward God, receiving the gift of grace. Grace is the result of Jesus Christ being willing to allow God the Father to place upon him all of your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ paid the price, which is spiritual and physical death and separation from the Father. At his resurrection, spiritual and physical life was restored, as well as the relationship with God the Father. There's nothing you can do but repent, believe, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He is the fullness of God. There's only one God, even though he has presented himself in three persons in order to identify with us and become sin on our behalf. Even if you are rejected and persecuted, if you can handle it God's way, you will be rewarded 100-fold in heaven.
I hope that if you have friends, family, and churches like that, that you will send that to them. That's one of the reasons I did it. They have millions of people, I think 2 or 3 million people in that church organization. You know the verse that talks about the wide road and the narrow path and gate and all that?
Yeah.
You know the context of that? The context of that is in chapter 3 of Revelation about the Laodicean church, which we know means that there are majority of the people in that church are warm.
meaning that they think they're believers, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the majority. All right, the verse that talks about this wide path and narrow actually is the church. It's not the world. In other words, it's what the church would be. In other words, there are going to be people in the church thinking they're Christians based on whatever they've chosen to believe and are not true Christians. Well, so wide, and it says that how many are on it?
Few.
Many on the wide.
Okay, the word, okay, in the Greek, what does many mean? It doesn't mean 51%. It means a vast majority, emphatic majority. Few on the other, very, not many. I don't know the answer to that. I ask the Lord sometimes, why? Why is it always a remnant? And why am I in it? Sure, it had nothing to do with me. That's a great mystery, isn't it? Two people in the same family, grow up in the same family, go to the same church, hear the same message, whatever, and one becomes a believer and the other doesn't. Wow. So we should be thankful if you're on that narrow path and not boast about it, but be very, very humble about it. God did not see anything good in me. Maybe he did in you, but the Bible says no, he didn't. Didn't see anything good. It had nothing to do with what you were going to do in life for the Lord. It had nothing to do with that. He knows that, but that isn't what it's based on. No. Matter of fact, he chooses many times the lowly to do what? To reveal his glory, his strength. I can't, but he can through me if I want his. I mean, if somebody were physically adept in every area, mentally, every area, and they did all kinds of things that we consider glorifying God, what is that? Well, how about somebody who overcame things? How about somebody who can't hear very well, can't see very well, has a lot of health issues? Have you ever studied Paul's physical health?
Yeah, yes.
It's worse than you may think. It's a lot worse than you might think. Mm-hmm. Not just the eye disease, but all sorts of infirmities. He had a speech impediment. People didn't even like the sound of his voice. But yet thousands of people eventually listened. Why? Because it was the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when he spoke the Word of God, they heard it differently than when he was just speaking. See, God's supernatural. And many times before God is going to use somebody, he has to allow them to be hurt. Look at Moses, prime example. Because otherwise we do it in our own strength and take the credit. Even though God's doing it, we take the credit. That's called stealing his glory. What does glory mean? The literal translation means heavy. Heavy. That's a literal. Well, do you remember back years ago, saying, hey man, that's heavy. That, what do they mean? They're talking about weight. What do they mean? Yeah.
Profound,
yeah. Yeah. That's a real trip, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's heavy. In other words, the good word would be, the English word was used, wonderful, but that really is not the right translation. It's incomprehensible. God's incomprehensible. Romans 11:33 is a great verse. Romans 11:33. Unfathomable are the judgments in his past finding out. In other words, there are a lot of things about God we can't understand, we never will understand. But we don't need to understand. Because Christianity is based on not knowledge. What is it based on? you're saved by grace. There's a knowledge there by faith, through faith. By, through. Those prepositions mean something different. By grace, through faith, and therefore...
Not of yourself.
Not of yourself, and you're not, so you shouldn't be able to vote. Now, in English, grammar, syntax, that would refer to what? Grace or faith? Say, by grace, through faith, that. Now, the that refers to which? Well, in English, we know it refers to the last one, faith. And that's the way it's been taught, but in Greek, it's not true. It's by grace that we shouldn't do those things, and it's through faith. The that refers to grace. Grace is the gift, not faith. There is a gift of faith, but that's a whole spiritual gift issue. That's entirely different. But faith. And faith is defined in Hebrews as things not seen. But hope for it. And hope, again, is not a good word in English, because in Greek, hope means guarantee. When you get a guarantee today on something, it's the English hope. You hope that they'll honor it. It's just not a loophole. But with God, it's not this cross your legs and everything, hope, hope, hope. No, it's a guarantee. If God said it, it will be. Right? Yeah. So it's not blind faith. But yet we're walked by faith and not by sight, but it's speaking spiritually. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is truth. You are truth. You are light. We need to stay in it. And there may be people who are truly saved, and they're just trying to live your life out at their church, which is a heritage kind of a thing. Father, we just pray against that. We pray for all those people sitting in churches that are... the people running these churches, this is what they believe. They're trying to unite everybody according to the way of Satan. Just like the Tower of Babel thing. All of that stuff, we see it played out in Europe. And how Europe is suffering today from it, economically and everything, Father, because they gave up their sovereignty. And the same pressure is in our country by even people running for president. So turn our sovereignty over to the United Nothing. Nations. And Father, that's not you. That's Babel sitting in Washington, in New York. We need to get out of it, and it needs to get out of our country, Father. But we know, according to your word, these things are going to come to be. You're going to let them unfold and unfold and unfold, because you're bringing everything to a climatic conclusion. But during this, we want to stay free from what's wrong, and we also want to share the light with other people so they don't get deceived, if they are deceived, to try to share the true gospel with them, which all has to do with what Jesus Christ came to do, to go to the cross, to take our sins upon himself. And many people are never going to receive the benefit of what he did, Father. And we pray that more and more will, even in our own country, as we have turned from you, Father. We pray for mercy for our country, to protect us from ISIS, Father. We deserve it, Father, but we pray for mercy. You've given us a lot of grace, and you've given us mercy, but we pray for extra mercy. In trade, Father, that Christians will share you more with the world and not get hooked up in this politics. Politics won't change things. It's only the gospel that changes the hearts of people, and the hearts of people then will change the government. What needs to start in our churches, with us and our churches, to be strong in the gospel and your word, Father. And that's what's happened in our country. As we've gone away from you, more and more people, then more people have been elected who are not of you, Father. We can't legislate morality. It's in the hearts of people. So we just thank you for those who came today. And those that aren't here, we continue to pray for them. Bring them back safely, Father. Pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.